Hi everyone, welcome back to the show. This is Morgan May. I'm Morgan May, and today we're talking about moms and Mom's Day, particularly difficult moms or toxic moms or moms we have strained relationships with or we've had to go no contact with. I don't have a script. I also haven't made an episode in like months, but I felt really called to make this episode, even though it's totally not perfect. I'm not even putting my video on because just for your sake, really, more than mine. And yeah, it probably should have gone out a week ago for good marketing practice. And I'm just going to do it and take imperfect action and speak what's on my heart and what I think that women could benefit from. It's a really alienating feeling having a mom who's alive, but that you don't have a relationship with. Like, it's not as common, not as like talked about openly, maybe, you know. It's really, and not that this is good by any means, but you know, if you have a mom who is passed, it's easier. It's like, oh yeah, that's why you don't talk to her. But if you don't, you know, if she's still alive, it's just like if people don't get it, you know, it seems like you're not doing something right because it's your mom and it's family. But that usually just comes from people who just have no context for what it is. Which, I mean, thankfully they don't, right? It's not like I would wish this like wound on anyone. So it's like alienating from the culture, and then a little like conflicted within yourself, right? Because I mean, it's your mother, you know, and like your inner child still wants a mom. I'm a little emotional right now. Also a good reason why this is not being videotaped, because my crying face is like very just like, it gets here. I have my photo booth on. I'll just describe it to you. It's really like shiny right now and like red and just a lot. But you know, we're here. And honestly, this is the first Mother's Day in, I think it's been 20, I stopped talking to my mom in 2015. I went no contact. 7 years. It's been 7 years since I've spoken to my mom. So, and in those 7 years, like, Mother's Day is weird for me. It's been weird, but it's kind of this like quietness, you know, where, and like numbness almost. Like, I acknowledge that it like sucked a little bit, but it just, that's where it ended. And I would, it was just this like quietness, almost like a calm, but there's like something under the surface that I wouldn't even acknowledge, you know? But this year is different. And I think it's different because I've really, like 2 months, 3 months ago, in an ayahuasca journey, frankly, had like just a huge breakthrough with that relationship and that wound, several actually. And not to say that's the first time I was working on this area of my life. I've been working on this area of my life since I went no contact with her, since I realized really who she was and how deep her personality disorder ran and how kind of sick her mind was. I've been working to kind of like undo the impact that had on me and my development and how I interact with the world. But like this stuff is just so deep. Like, it's like the core wound. It's like you literally came out of your mother, you know? And I just, it's like the start of it, the inception of it all. I have been working for like years. Up until recently, like I don't think I really like emotionally processed all of it. And we'll get into that, but I'll just say here and now, like, for anyone who is, you know, going through today and you kind of feel like that, like it sucks, but it's this like quietness, almost calmness, and maybe you've cried a little bit, but you know, it's easier to detach or easier to eat or easier to, you know, scroll on social media for hours or tune out watching TV. Like, all that is fine, you know, like I've done all of that and continue still today do all of it. But you could also see today as kind of an invitation to go deeper within yourself and to acknowledge what is under the surface that wants to be heard and felt, which isn't easy. It's like just terribly painful, you know, it is. And it's never not going to be painful. Like, it's just always gonna suck. That was like my takeaway from my ayahuasca experience, was that like, it's just never not gonna suck. You know, it's just always gonna be there. But I think it's better for us to experience that pain instead of trying to like numb it out with various coping skills, drinking, spending money, this distraction. Again, I've used all of it because, yeah, it just brings it to the surface and casts it into the light. So I would just offer that today is an invitation to explore and to feel safely, like experience emotion safely. Because the truth is, like, and I've like heard this in spiritual circles, but I really didn't like get it until recently with like plant medicine, that like, unless I experience my emotion, it will stay inside of me and it will hurt me even more. Like, we think it's like all this numbing out, all those different mechanisms I mentioned, like it's our body's defense mechanism, right? Because being numb is less painful than experiencing like the pain. But in reality, it's like a short-term solution, because the pain is still there. We're not experiencing it. And the pain will manifest in our lives in other areas like it has mine. So yeah, I would just go there, you know, challenge you even more than invite, challenge, because it does suck. It just sucks. So I'll talk a little bit about my journey and how like me going there, quote unquote, now is looking a little bit different, and hopefully like it's looking different this year versus like other years or other times I've tried to like invoke forgiveness or try to heal this like hurt, like bitterness or hurt, or you know, feeling slighted is like an understatement, but you know, like feeling like I was set up for, like I was disadvantaged in some way because of my upbringing. So yeah. So my ayahuasca experience, up until like doing ayahuasca, and by the way, I'm not like overtly recommending ayahuasca. If you are called to this modality, amazing, like answer that calling bravely, you know, but if you're not, don't force yourself. I don't think it's for everyone necessarily. I've heard that like a lot of negative stories, more positive than negative, but like, you know, I'm just not out here like saying to like mess with like really, really serious mind altering substances. But yeah, up until the point of doing ayahuasca, also to catch everyone up, I moved to Mexico, to like the Yucatan Peninsula area in Mexico, like by Cancun, like in Playa del Carmen and Tulum, like that area. During the pandemic, I was in New York City. It got too dark, frankly, and I moved. And so in Mexico, ayahuasca is, I think, probably more available than in the States. And up until the point, I've just been very adventurous in really trying to heal myself. Like when you're raised by a narcissistic mom and you're a woman, especially, I think it's hard for men too, totally not discounting that at all. But like my brother had a completely different experience than my sister and I did with her, like completely different experience. He was very much like the golden child angel, and we were just punished constantly, and she just hated us and our bodies and was very critical, and you know, it was just different. But yeah, up until this point, I've done talk therapy, CBT, you know, psychodynamic, CBD, like plant medicine, cannabis, mushrooms, like hypnotherapy, quantum reflex analysis. Like I've just tried a bunch of things. I'm very open-minded, and it's not that I'm not afraid of going there, because I'm not, but I just like feel like I owe it to myself to like feel the best I possibly can in this life, you know? And I'm just, I don't want to, I think, yeah, that a whole other conversation is that like, you know, you could get too hung up on doing the work that you're not actually living or sitting in your pleasure or, and I think that I've definitely fallen victim, you know, I'm guilty of that. But just wanted to give some context because I think this experience that I'm about to share is very much like a buildup of a bunch of different things and opening myself up on different levels. The first, I've done ayahuasca now 3 times, basically once a month, January, February, March. In January, my first time, I had some insights. Like I adopted my shadow self from my mom, and it was this like ancestral thing. It was like a little less visual though and way more physical. And before going into ceremony, I like felt this theme of like my mom creep in, and I was like, no, like there's some things I just felt her presence, not like a ghost or anything, but just like I felt that. Like once you agree to do ayahuasca, the plant starts working on you, right? And so I just felt like this was like a thing that was coming up, and I was like resisting it. I was like, no, I don't want to go there. I was very like walls up, just like, no, like whatever, you could show me whatever else you want, I'm not going there. Like, no, hard no. And when I took it, I took 3 cups, but it was mainly physical, and I was just feeling all this pain in my body. It was like a very painful experience, and I didn't throw up. I wasn't really in vision, and the mom stuff didn't really come up more than like just it showing me that, you know, I adopted my shadow self from her and from the lineage of women in my family. It wasn't until the second time that I really realized that though, that I was like very much resisting and very much just closed off and like fearful. And that's why I wasn't in vision. I didn't have this whole experience because I was just fighting. I was fighting it the whole time. I was also uncomfortable. Like it was a new setting. I'm a control freak. This is like a medicine that like you're very much not really in control. I didn't know the people, but anyways, the next month there was like a retreat that was being held. So it was like multiple days, and I signed up. And the first night, I think me like being in that setting for longer than like just going there, you know, right before the ceremony, I had done a tobacco purge the night before. So it was like a 3-day ceremony, and the first day was a tobacco purge. And they say that ayahuasca is like the mother, mushrooms are los niños, like the children, and tobacco is like the grandfather, and it can sometimes be more powerful than ayahuasca. But it's non-hallucinogenic, there's no DMT, it's just all physical. And basically you just have to drink like this big cup of tobacco leaf tea, which is so disgusting, but you have to drink it in like 10 minutes or less, because you have to chug a bunch of water after, and if you don't, you die. So, but I like purged like a motherfucker. I purged, it wasn't like for a long duration, it was like 3 big purges all in a row, like violent exorcism. It like came out of my nose, just like really aggressive purge. And I felt something like get unstuck unlodge, dislodge from my heart, like my chest. And then I felt a little raw after that, like just a little bit more tender, a little bit more sensitive. I'm already pretty sensitive, so it's a little overwhelming. But the next night I did ayahuasca, and this was like my most powerful experience of the three, I think. So I go in to ceremony, and I mean, I had some visions at first, whatever. And then I go to get my second cup and literally saw the Matrix disintegrate and all this crazy stuff happened that's not mom related. I like met the creator, like discovered who I really am, what this whole thing really is, hologram. Like, it was trippy. But after that, and then after I actually purged, because I purged, I was like lying there and it just like hit me. It was like I just remembered how much I loved my mom. It was like I like had forgotten, you know, and like how much I loved her, which was wild. Like, this woman really hated me and my sister. Like, there was not love that I would say she felt for us. She made it very difficult growing up, not in an overt sense. It was all covert, which is even more of a mind fuck because everything looked perfect. But under the surface, it was just so emotionally abusive and mentally abusive and just caused me a lot of trauma, like a lot of complex trauma that I've spent years like undoing. And I've harbored a lot of anger and resentment. And, you know, when I looked on her back, you know, it was not really in a positive light at all. It was hard. It was this like heaviness, but I still found myself like just remembering how much I loved this woman. Like, I loved her so much. And I was just weeping. Like, it was like, I had never cried like that. I was just like weeping, like just again, like just continually like weeping, just sitting in how much I love her and how much I missed her. Like, I just like missed her. And it was really beautiful. Like, I saw her, and beyond just like loving her, I was like feeling reverence for her and so much gratitude for her and for all of the gifts that she had given to me and passed down to me, like beauty and femininity and writing ability. And, you know, just this, like, she was cool, like an interesting and really powerful mind and powerful woman, like spiritually, you know. And I just found myself like sitting in that reverence and like honor for her, which this, all of this was like, if you had told me that I would have felt any of this, you know, a month prior, I would have like laughed and like rolled my eyes, like, you know. But here I was just like sitting in like just the utmost respect and gratitude for this woman who abused me my whole life, really. And I saw her and I like anointed her hair and her feet in oil, and I was like dancing around her and, you know, throwing rose petals all over her and just celebrating her in like love. It was fucking wild. Like, and the insight that I got was that, yes, that was my experience, you know, growing up, but it is better for me to feel love for her, better for me. Feeling bitterness and anger, it was hurting me. It was hurting my body. It's not like healthy for me to sit in those feelings. And it's not to like say that what she did was okay and how she raised me was okay by any means, but it's just, it showed me like that she can't hurt me anymore. Like, that's over, you know, that happened in the past, and it's safe for me to like love her now. It's safe. You know, I think I learned when you're raised by a narcissist, there's a lot of like betrayal trauma there, right? Like, you love your mom. That's just like, you can't not love your mom. You're wired to like love your mom. And when your mom doesn't return that or hurts you in various ways or takes advantage of that love and that position in your life, that's a betrayal. It's a deep, deep, deep wound, you know? And there's abandonment, emotional abandonment that comes with that. And so all of that to say that, like, if you're no contact with your mom, or you have a very like sparing relationship or a relationship with a lot of boundaries, like, I just offer you that, and it, not to say it's not painful. Like, I am coming to you on this Mother's Day season, like, just crying more than I ever have on any Mother's Day, you know, but it's for a different reason. Like, I just miss her so much. And it's like, I feel my inner child just like wanting to be around her. And I know as an adult, like, that's not possible, right? Like, I know, and the planet, you know, it didn't tell me to like, okay, reach out to her tomorrow. It said like, no, she's not in your life anymore. And so it's safe to feel these things. And sometimes it's important to just differentiate like the past from the present. Yes, this is our story. Yes, my mother did not treat me right growing up. She abused me and she took a lot of innocence from me. And there's a lot of awful things I would never wish upon anyone. I would never wish this relationship. I would never wish anyone had to even go no contact with their mom. Like, it's a really hard thing to experience. But it's also in the past. And just because you like delineate that doesn't say that it's okay that any of that stuff happened. But it does free you in a way, because like, I think the whole point of like self-mastery and self-sovereignty, like, I'm an adult now. I am responsible for everything that happens in my life. I'm responsible for my emotional state. I choose what will and will not hurt me. I choose. And if I continue to choose to let a story that happened in the past influence my life today, that's not productive. That's not facilitating my happiness and me feeling the best I possibly can every day. So I just offer you that, and to just sit with that for a little bit, and to try to separate that past from your present. And it's just liberating. Like, I just feel very free from like these chains that I felt like pulling me down every day, these chains of like anger and betrayal and all of this. Like, since this experience, I have felt very free in a way, like lighter, more integrated, more like more of myself is open. Like, I feel like it really opened my heart. Like, I feel like I had a lot of anger living in my heart, and like I had to keep my walls up to protect myself, kind of. And just a lot of betrayal trauma really closes you off, because you learn that you have to protect yourself so that you don't become betrayed again. But I've really noticed a difference in my emotional state in that regard, and the kinds of men that I'm dating. And not to say, like, it's just a different experience, you know. I used to show up very closed off, and not to say like these men are like the best example, or like not putting anything in like high regard necessarily, but like, I do believe that we attract what we put out, and that relationships are mirrors. And yeah, I've just noticed that tide shifting a little bit, and just it's because I'm shifting. Like, I'm just showing up more open and authentic and like integrated and less fearful. That fearful quality is really big, I think, with betrayal trauma and being raised by a narcissist. You kind of learn to operate in fear instead of love. The third time that I did ayahuasca, she came up again at the very end. The plant showed me all of these ways that, like, all these things that I had developed from being raised by a narcissist, like perfectionism, believing I was inherently bad, you know, all of these beliefs and ways that I was treating myself, it showed them to me. Like, I've known that they're there, but I didn't see the magnitude, like how prevalent, or like how much of an impact they were having on my life in various different ways. And even still, after like facing a lot of, you know, the symptoms of trauma, the negative repercussions of that experience, still at the end of seeing all of that, how I was objectified, I've been objectifying myself because I was raised as an object, like all of these really hard things. Still at the end of this whole experience, like looking at these things one by one, I still was just, I was crying at the end again, like in mourning. Like I realized I had never like mourned that relationship. I just never mourned her. Like I just missed her so much. I missed her a little bit in the beginning, but it was more like love and reverence in the second ceremony. But this third ceremony, I was like, I realized I really never mourned that relationship. Like her and I were close at a certain period, like the last kind of stage before I moved out of the house, really, and she moved to India. Like while I was still in college, we would have these like girls' nights where we would put on like some stupid rom-com that we both like. It was just this like guilty pleasure, like junk food, you know. And we would paint our nails and place orders. We like place this order for like so many different nail polishes from Zoya at one point, and like we were just into that, and we would do our nails and she would cook and we would like drink wine and eat popcorn and just like do face masks, and she would put her like lotions on and her like hand and foot masks on, and we would just talk about all this stuff, and we were just close, like, and I just missed her. It was like all of a sudden she just wasn't in my life anymore, right, after going no contact. And granted, like for good reason, there was huge blow up fights and just a lot of abuse, reactional abuse. I would like the last thing that happened, like before I went no contact, I was just left catatonic in bed for like a week in like a really dark place. So, you know, it's not like I had a choice, but I just didn't like mourn that relationship anyways. And so I spent that third ceremony really just mourning that loss of those good times, because they were good. And you know, this is again isn't to say like, oh, you take the good or the bad with the good or the good with the bad, like nothing like that. It's not just because like we had fun together and, you know, and we're close, like doesn't negate the fact that like she will always try to hurt me, like, and now I see it. I just didn't see it back then, right? But and even if it's just like mourning the construct of the relationship you had in your head, right? Like at the point, you know, that I'm talking about, even during that time, there was emotional abuse happening, you know, it was just all covert. That's the other thing about betrayal trauma. That's a bitch. It's like you have to then go through every single memory you ever had and like analyze it and be like, well, what was going on here? What was going on here? And I've had to do that too. But there were some things that I miss, even just if they're just in my head. And so mourning that and not feeling like feeling safe and being able to mourn that, like I can mourn and miss her and not be taken advantage of again, right? And not have that come back to bite me in the ass because she's not in my life anymore. So yeah, just really, really transformational. I never thought that I would feel these things for my mom. It's really been a very hard thing in my life and something that I've come to terms with it. I wasn't emotional about it. I just like closed the book and I was like, no, like, you know, this just, I thought I was done, kind of like, okay, no relationship with her, like moving on with my life, like trying to undo all this negative patterning that I now have. But, anyways, all of this also just to like be a testimony to like how deep this work can go, and not to say I'm done at all, totally not even close. But I didn't know that this like level of the game existed until I like experienced it, and it really just blew my mind. And I just feel better. Like it feels better to like miss her than it does to like not feel anything or feel anger or like slighted or victimized, you know, or any of that. It feels way better to like love her and miss her. And that is so crucial for healing and like letting go and just being free and living your life on your terms. And because the truth is, like, if you still let your abuser control how you're feeling, then they're still abusing you. They're still controlling you. You know? And it's just like, no, I don't want that. I'm ending that. I don't consent to anybody having control over me except for me, and I will do whatever I have to make sure that that happens, even if it's flying to Mexico and driving an hour into the middle of the jungle and drinking DMT juice with a bunch of strangers and purging in a bucket all night. I hope this story helped anyone, touch you guys, or like, I would really love to hear about your experiences. Please feel free to write me. It really, I think, helps me feel connected to other people when we have like shared experiences that are not common like this. So yeah, I'll leave my website in the description. It's always there. www.themorganmay.com. My email is morgan@themorganmay.com. Thank you so much for listening and like allowing me to just have this outlet to share. And yeah, I wish you guys a happy day today. Not even happy, just fuck that. No, just like a day with yourself, and however you decide to use today, whether it's practicing avoidance on social media or spending money or drinking, or if it's meditating, or if it's spending it with a friend or a friend's mom or a partner, or if it's sitting with yourself and feeling into all this stuff. I just, yeah, I hope that you feel good doing it, and that this can just add some value to your day in whatever capacity. Okay, thank you again so much for listening. Follow me on TikTok @TheMorganMay, Instagram too, same handle, and I will see you guys in my next episode. I have a lot of really interesting guests coming up that I'm excited to kind of share with you guys. I feel like this podcast is turning from, you know, being directed towards like challenging the culture and status quo more towards like shadow work on like a micro and a macro level. Like that's what I'm seeing the common thread is between all these stories that I've been collecting. So curious to hear your thoughts, and thanks again. We'll see you next time.